الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم.
My respected brothers and elders, in the initial days of Islam, Muslims were put through a lot of trials, difficulties, hardships. And any person that proclaimed the truth, then he had gone through difficulties. From the time of Nuh alayhi salam, right until Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam, any person that stood out for goodness, righteousness, honesty, truth, then he had to go through some trial or the other. If we are looking for a package without any trial, then we are driving up the wrong way. There's going to be difficulties. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah was sift out that in the face of trials, do you still remain faithful to me, or you with me only for the good times? So he wants to see you out, check you out, right? That you with me, you stand with me under all circumstances, difficulties and ease. وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتَرْكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Think that it will just come. There will be some trials, there will be some difficulties coming up your way. Rasulullah advised the Sahaba-i-Kiram when they were going through some persecution, the harassment, the difficulties became unbearable. Someone is made shaheed, someone is being tortured, someone is being put through difficulties just because of Islam. The crime is Islam. So at this point, Nabi Sallam allowed, right, go. Some went to Abyssinia. They heard about a just king in Abyssinia. Nobody is oppressed under him. But as they had reached up to Abyssinia, then the Quraysh delegation was there to offer Negus Najashi huge amounts of gifts, and that he must return these people that came over to him. So when Najashi heard this, so Najashi said, no, I have to hear the other side. I can't take a one-sided decision. With due respect to the gift that you have given, but that doesn't stop me from doing justice. This was a value that a Muslim lived for, even if it went against his own self, his own property, his own wife and children. But he stood for honesty, he stood for justice, he stood for the truth. And then whatever decision is taken, he stands, he goes with it. Though the person that is ruling is inferior, is lower to you, and the one that is presiding is your subject, but it won't stop him from practicing justice, conforming to the principle. I am the ruler. You are ruling against me, but I will listen to you with all respects. So a Muslim stood for this, he died for this, he lived for this. Najashi summons the Muslims that are there, and Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu is representing the Muslims. So Najashi wants to know what Islam is all about, and then Hazrat Jafar recites, according to the request of Najashi, the king of Abyssinia, Hazrat Jafar recites the opening verses of Surah Maryam. Kaf Ayah Ain Sad says, the beard of Najashi streamed with tears. He couldn't control himself. All the bishops and the priests that were around, they uncontrollably just teared. It's natural with the Quran Sharif, the word of Allah Ta'ala, it must impact. And then at the end, Najashi says, this and the message that came to Isa al-Islam, Jesus, is coming from the same niche, from the same source. And he says to them, thereafter you go and practice your deen freely. No person has got the right to harass you in any way. And return all the gifts. Understood by now that this was done just as a bribery, not for the sake of muhabbat and not for good reasons. The world is in search of this class of persons, are doing things selflessly. No interest. My interest is justice. My interest is fair play. My interest is everybody must be treated equally and correctly. So that's the interest. Some days later, Najashi passed away, and in absentia, Nabi Sir performed his janazah namaz. And the Sahaba Kiram say that we were not at all in doubt that his janazah was before us. So this was a mu'adiza of Nabi Sallam that his janazah was in front. But because this is it's a rare case, isolated, is as though it's an isolated case. A mu'adiza and a miracle doesn't become a rule. So this was a mu'adiza and a miracle that was exclusive to the Najashi. Allah Ta'ala fill his grave with nur. So it's opening verses of Surah Maryam, Zikru Rahmati Rabbika Abdahu Zakariya. This is a recital, call it a recital, call it a discussion, call it some information about the special mercy directed to his servant Zakariya alayhi salam. They say, in the Zikri Saliheen, Tanzilu Rahmat. When good people are spoken about, then the mercy of Allah Ta'ala descends. Good people, their incidents, their stories are spoken about, then Rahmat comes, Rahmat descends. By the same token, if we carry on talking about evil, depressive news, then you begin to feel depressed. So as a rule, we talk about good. We don't speak about evil as a rule. But now someone may ask a question, then why does the Quran Sharif speak about Fir'aun, sometimes about Haman, sometimes about Nimrud? Why does it speak about, if it is that Rahmat descends when you are talking about good people, then why does the Quran Sharif speak about these evil people? So the reason is obvious. فَانْظُرْ كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Sometimes it is for you to take a lesson. See how these people are treated. It mustn't be that you press the wrong buttons and you invite the divine wrath. You play the long card and then you are inviting the wrong card, the consequence. Okay. I don't have any personal grievance with anybody. It's on account of his action that he's getting this type of problems. So you are going to behave similarly, you will also face up to the same type of consequence. I don't have a personal relationship with you. Nobody. In my sight, everybody is identical. All are my slaves. You do right, you will win. He does right, he will win. But you feel that you are an exclusive class, then you are off the course. it is the one reason why the Quran Sharif speaks. Sometimes it speaks about people of evil, so that you will fall in that evil that these people have fallen, as a lesson, as an ibrat. Sometimes the Quran Sharif speaks about the evil of the evil, so that you understand how to manage yourself in the face of trials, there's fitnas, there's problems, there's difficulties, and how do you manage yourself? The people of the cave, and they've been called from all sides. There's no way for them to carry on with their faith, no way for them to practice. The ruling class is oppressing them, their own homes is becoming a constraint for them. There's no way of survival. Then how did they survive under the circumstance? What did they do? So it's showing you some room, some exit. That when you are in a trial, this is how you will conduct yourself. Don't you become despondent. Don't you become depressed. Now, there's no option for me, but I may take my life. I mean, leave this world here. There is a room. The idea is that we link ourselves to someone. See, our problem in this day and time is that we want to have a life without any shackles. I must be shackled to anything. But I say, by this concept of being shackled is a blessing, is a ni'mat. You're shackled. Right? You are shackled to your job. Right? Aren't you shackled to your job? You have to clock in on time, go out in time. Isn't it the shackle? You have to do the duty that has been assigned. Isn't that a shackle? So you do the duty, you come in on time, you leave on time. Right? And then you will accomplish whatever the boss tells you. Isn't that a shackle? So one is coming on time, one is duty, one is accomplishment. So three shackles. Now for the three shackles that you have shackled yourself, there is a remuneration, there is a reward. Then you understand this is a ni'mat. Now say for example, there was no shackle. There was nothing to tie you up. Would you remain committed to your work? You remain committed because you know there is a remuneration. But the remuneration comes with a shackle. So the shackle becomes a ni'mat, becomes a blessing. Without the shackle, the boss wouldn't have treated you how he treats you. Without the shackle, you wouldn't have been eligible for the reward, right? Without the shackle, your home would have been in constraints and difficulties. You know, Rosi come from Allah Pak, I can do what I want. When I want to go, I'll go. When I want to come back, I'll come back. I'll do the business of my choice. I ask you, that will there be anybody that remunerates you? So the shackle becomes a blessing. Whether you like it or you don't like it, in this world you will have to be shackled. Can there be anybody that can say, no, I got no shackle, no chains, I can do things of my choice? Unfortunately, the West is taking you in the direction that you can do what you want. But it's just a farce, it's just a lie. Now, you're applying for a visa or a citizenship for a certain country, whichever country. So amongst the requirements, what do you have to say about a gay relationship? Are you in favor of it or are you against it? You are in favor of it, so we give you the right to become our citizen. But now see how shameful. The one that is interrogating you, or the whole commission that is talking in this language, that means what they are saying, that we are gays, and you're supposed to be a gay for you to be admitted to our country. And they don't feel ashamed about it. I ask you, you are in your office, and some person says he's a gay, he wants to come and talk to you. Will you feel comfortable? One man came to me eight or ten years ago. So he had some businesses in Durban, Johannesburg and Cape Town, all branches all over. One man came, apparently a little bit wealthy, buying this one for 20,000, 50,000, 100,000. He did whatever he needed to buy. And then after, you know, the boss is in the shop, he's quite young, so he started touching him and curious, hey, what are you? No, I'm a gay. But hey, better just get out of here. The whole relationship is soured. What is this man up to? How filthy and how How filthy he felt at that time. This man is touching me, and I don't know what he's touching me for. He's giving me the business, but these are his intentions. So this is unnatural behavior. And that unnatural behavior becomes like the norm. The wrong becomes right. So how difficult it becomes for a man to continue to survive. But then you need to understand that this is the standard that is being made. It's a criterion that you have to follow. If you don't, then you don't get the rights. Rather, you try to keep your rights. We don't need. We rather live in constraints. We don't want to live in filth. So, ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَا. See, there are occasions for the acceptance of du'as. Sometimes it is a time that is auspicious, like how you have the Shab al-Qadr, right? 27th night. Or the night of Qadr, du'as get answered. Don't we have that auspicious time? Sometimes it's the auspicious time, Mubarak time, is between Asr and Maghrib on a Friday, and du'as are getting answered. Sometimes the auspicious time is between the Adhan and the Namaz, again at time. So sometimes the time for the acceptance is because of the time, the virtue of the time. Sometimes the time of acceptance is on virtue of the place. You are near the Kaaba Sharif. Isn't it a moment for your du'as to get answered? You are near the Mizab-e Rahmat. You are near the Multazam. So it's a place where the du'as will get answered. Ad-du'a'u tustajabu inta al-Multazam. Rawahu Abu Dawud. There is an occasion where the du'as get accepted where at the Multazam. So a time and a place where the du'as get answered. Sometimes it is a person, people, and with their presence your du'as are getting answered. See, when you hear the crowing of a rooster, then you're supposed to be making this du'a, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik, Allah Ta'ala, I ask you for your special grace. Now, the commentators say, why do you make this du'a at the time of the crowing of a rooster? They say, because of the presence of the malaika. They are crowing because they are seeing malaika. Malaika are pious people, right? Because of their presence, it's very likely that they may say Ameen or something to your du'as, and your du'as are getting answered. So why not? Why not let your du'as get answered? So sometimes it's because of the auspicious time, the virtue of the place, or the virtue of the person. So ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عِنْدَهُ زَكَرِيَا. ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَا. So we're talking of great people, right? When you're talking of great people, now the rahmat comes. So you see, when you read up the story or the biography of a pious person, the righteous person, how motivated don't you feel? How driven don't you feel? Say, tomorrow I'm changing my life. All right, sometimes the emotions go high for the moment, sometimes for a week, sometimes for a month. But then you can't expect it to remain all the time. You have to build up yourself. You can't depend on a push start all the time, right? You know, before they do that, to boot, but that engine is gone off. Well, they were booster, yeah. But now you see, you can't even use that. It's all sophisticated cars and all that. You can't use that booster also. So see, too much of the boost is not too good. Now and then you take the booster and move on. But being boosted all the time, if nada rabbahu nida'an khafiya. Allah Ta'ala is explaining to us the adab of du'a. When you ask, when you petition, you're begging Allah Ta'ala, then with all humility, إِذْنَادَ رَبَّهُ نِدَاءً خَفِيًّا. He's talking to Allah Ta'ala in soft tones. قُلْءُ رَبَّكُمْ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفِيًّا. When you're begging and petitioning Allah Ta'ala softly, with humility, گِرْگِرَا كَرْكَ تُمْ اپنے رب سے مانگو. You don't order Allah Ta'ala, make this happen. Allah, you make sure that you make this happen for me. Oh, you don't order Allah. You can't push Allah. It's a favor. It's a ihsan. It's the grace of Allah. So when you're requesting the grace, then beg like how a beggar is supposed to be asking. You see a beggar on the stop street, right? Don't you learn something from him as well? He's coming there. He'll have his hands like this. His back will be bent a little bit. Only be crouching a little bit. His hands are stretched out, like how you make in dua. Right? And then he will praise you. Lani, boss. Doesn't he praise you? He'll talk something high about you. Because, you know, no food in the house. Something, he'll give you some story. But the crouching of his, the hands of his body language that he's using at that time, isn't that a lesson? Isn't that something that we need to understand? Leave alone his begging. We don't go on that end now. Hey, this is a professional beggar. We're not supposed to be supporting them and then using it for drugging. By the good end, what you can learn out of it, do that. See, we have become too judgmental. I don't say you can't judge. That is another extreme. One extreme is mustn't become judgmental. And another extreme is don't become judgmental at all. Begin to judge everybody. So you don't judge everybody all the time. It may be that the poor person is in constraint, therefore it is in this manner to come and beg to you. Juwayd Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, you saw one person on the cross, he's just about being crucified. So he inquired, iska kya ho gaya? What happened? Why is he being made to stand on the cross? Why is he being crucified? He says, no, that he's told for the first time, they amputated his right hand. He's told for the second time, and his left foot went. Then he went for the, he's told for the third time, then they say, enough now, enough is enough. Let's get away with this person. So the Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, went and kissed the feet of this robber. And he's following up, wondering, ye to chor hai, aur chor ke kadmon ko tum bosa dete ho. It's a thief, and you're going to kiss the feet of the thief. So he says, chor ke kadmon ko bosa nahi deta. I'm not kissing the feet of a thief. I'm kissing the feet of istiqamat. See, his firmness, the stability. Irrespective of the circumstance, but he stood. So, they're not going to deter me. They're not going to move me from my habit. My habit, I live. I steal to live. I rob to live, right? And they feel that they're going to be hard and oppressive towards me. And they're going to deter me and drive me away. They can't. I'll show them. I'll do it. Irrespective of what they do. So, isn't that a lesson? Irrespective of what's going on, I'm going to be hard on my stance. Isn't that something to learn? Istiqamah. So, in any situation, there is a good perspective. There's a good dimension. A dimension that you can learn. You can take something from. Someone asked one saintly person, you see, you know, there's a good dimension in everything. Then what's the good in a swine? You know, when someone stretches you, he stretches you right to the limit, right? They stretch you, and they stretch you right to the turning point. So he asked the saintly person, what is the good in a swine? He said, I learned from the swine as well. Those that have been in India, say 30, 40 years ago, many a times in the villages, right, villages, outlying areas, then they want to relieve themselves, they go to the open fields, right. And the most suitable time they find to go to the fields is before Fajr, right. It's an hour before Fajr, because they don't need to make parda at the time. Everything is dark, so you're doing whatever you're doing, you have done your stuff, and you're moving, right. So they go into the dark, do their stuff, and they come back. So, now the swines though, that their fresh meals, hot fresh meals are now there. So they go just before Fajr to have their meals. So I don't want to become worse than the swine. That thing comes for its meal before Fajr. And I'm getting up after Fajr. Isn't that disgrace? Was it the insan? That thing has got so much of akal, so much of brains, that it must get up before Fajr looking out for its food, for its provision. And I don't have that type of sense. I must get up before Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, meri akal ka kya ho gaya? Idh nada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya. So, if you want to learn a lesson, you want to take something, you will take a lesson from anything and everything. But if you want to just run people down, criticize, condemn, pull out mistakes, then that also can happen. Anything and everything, you will find a fault. But at the end, what will happen? When you learn to find faults, you will become a conglomeration of faults, mistakes. Because at the end what will happen is you will feel that I am holier than thou. I am like this, but he is worse. I am like this, but he is worse. But he is doing this. So you will keep comparing yourself against the person that is weaker, and you will drop down. Whereas you're supposed to be escalating, going up. And you're looking at he's false, that person's false. So who's the right person, who's the good person? It's just yourself. So all the good is just centered around you. The rest of the world, they all decline, they're all going down. So I am the only good person around, everybody's going down. In Mia's farm, he should teach us on Kitab. I don't know if they still teach it. Mufid al-Talibi. Afdalun Nas, who's the best? Man kana ala uyubi basira. The best person is that person who looks at his faults and is blind to the faults of people. His own faults he's looking, watching. As Luqman al-Islam, he's known for his wisdom, right? Wisdom, what we say, what we mean by wisdom? The right thing, at the right time, at the right place, with the right intention, with the right approach. That's hikmat. That hikmat is called the sunnah. The way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The right thing, at the right time, in the right way, with the right approach, with the right niyat. So five rights. So that's called hikmat. How to say it, when to say it, who to say it, do we say it or don't we say it, what should be the approach, and what should my intention be. I have got a personal grievance with you, and when I see you wrong, I smash you down straight away. Why? Because of my personal grudge, my vendetta. I needed to smash you, and I just wanted to see that fault. The moment I saw that fault, I jumped onto you. And the next person is very friendly with me. He does the same wrong, but I just turn a blind eye. Because now he's our friend, we don't want to break the friendship. Here I'm quick to come to your neck. And here I neglect the person. So is that hikmat? That's not hikmat. So Luqman al-Islam was asked, where did you learn hikmat from? Where did you learn wisdom from? See, there's a lot of scope in this world to improve, to become better, to better your akhlaq, your amal, your deeds, your character, your ways, to improve your jannah. There are a lot of ways. But then, do we have that open heart? Do we have that capacity to go for that higher? The day of Qiyamah got about seven names in the Quran. Haqqa, Qari'a, right? Yawmul Jama, Yawmul Hasra, Yawmul Taghabun. So many names the day of Qiyamah is about. Yawm al-Qiyamah. Six names I've already counted before you, right? You won't count, maybe about 10 names you get, right? So one of the names of the day of Qiyamah is Yawm al-Taghabun. Yawm al-Jama'. Jama', all the creation have been assembled. From Adam al-Islam to the last person that set foot on this planet Earth, everybody is assembled. Yawm al-Taghabun is a day of loss or gain. You will understand now who gained today and who lost today. That is the real loss. That is the real gain. If you lost 50 million or 100 million or all the money in the world, it's alright. You can still recover. But if you lost on that day, the loss which you can't reverse, can you understand, can you perceive a loss greater than that? You can't imagine a loss greater. Okay, right on the day of Qiyamah, it's announced that this so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, it's going to be announced on the day of Qiyamah, front of all the creation, so-and-so, the son of son of so-and-so, and he is a winner, he won. And what will be the extent of your joy? But by the same token, it will also be announced that so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, son of so-and-so, he's a loser. Can you understand the extent of the grief and the pain? Can't change it. No, Allah has announced it. You can't change it. You can change things as long as you are here. Improve and correct as long as you are. But the moment you crossed over and you want to change, you can't make a change. Imagine a child that is born with one arm. Can you change that? It's happened, it's what has happened. You can't change it. So one of the names of the day of Qiyamah is Yawmul Hasra. Anzirum Yawmul Hasra. The day of remorse. The day of regret. See, the whole world will go right as long as we keep the verse before us. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتًا. You are conscious, you are concerned about the day when you stand before the divine tribunal. For those moments that have passed without the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, now you are seeing the rewards being distributed. Achha, isko to ye mahal mil gaya. He's got this palace. And he's elevated to the level 100 in Jannah. And I'm battling still 50. How do you feel at that time? I got to go, why didn't you do something, man? You would have been elevated like how this man is born today. But I say the world comes right when you've got this verse before you. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتًا. The one that fears the tribunal of his Rabb, and he has got the two jannats. I was just discussing now, Junaid, the cards are coming in. There's a lot of talk about takhassus, specializing in deen also, to specialize. And more Thami Sahib Rahman says, ye takhassus kiske liye zeba hai? To specialize, who is it appropriate for? He's specializing, but it's good that he specializes. So he says that it's good for that person who learnt a high level of taqwa and righteousness. But if he hasn't learnt a high level of taqwa, then it's going to be dangerous. I read this malfuz maybe 10 years ago, right? I read this. But I couldn't understand the depth of Mulana's statement that takhassus uske liye zeba hai, takhassus in specializing is appropriate for that person who's got a high level of taqwa, specializing in dini matters like hadith, fiqh, Quran Sharif and all that, right? So, is it good for who? It's good for that person who's got a high level of taqwa. And who doesn't have that high level of taqwa, then it's going to be dangerous for him. Now, there was an incident that came before me. With that incident, now I understood exactly what I was telling. The man that was involved, he tells me, I gave towards this project, right? I gave so much, 7 million, right? Towards this project. I thought it was a wonderful project. I gave that amount. So, the one that received that 7 million, he used the 1 million to do something for the madrasa, whatever he was doing. And the 6 million, he used it for his own home. Whatever he needed, he used for his own. So the mullah that is reporting this whole thing about that person who is specialized now in deen something. So I said, but how did he justify this? He collected zakat, right? When he collected zakat and he got 7 million, right? 1 million was for the project and 6 million he used it for himself. How did he justify it? I couldn't understand. You know, how did he get it right? So he's such a specialist that I can't understand. You know, the level of his specializing. So, no, very easily he did it. He made himself zakatable. See that? He made himself zakatable. In other words, he made himself eligible for zakat. So, how do you make yourself eligible to zakat? You make yourself eligible for zakat in this manner that you become a debtor. You are in debt now. You bought on 1 million car, you only got 1,000 rand. So, aren't you in debt? You're in debt and you're a debtor. So, now you're eligible. I asked you, you won't tell the man, you know, I'm calling his zakat, but this time I'm going to use it. Then you're going to give your zakat. And if he ever hears that you're using the zakat in this manner, what will they say? Will they be comfortable giving you that money? But you see this, you specialize when you've got the level of taqwa. You don't have the level of taqwa, you're going to be misusing it. And you're going to make a loophole. You're going to find an exit for yourself. Like what is happening. Unfortunate, I mentioned it, but this, the same thing of loophole business is happening in nearly every Islamic bank. They're using it just to justify somehow or the other force some type of a permissibility. But if you only hear how they're doing it, you won't want to be there. But then they're getting the structures right. I will not say that the structures are not right, but it's these type of loopholes where they're defeating the ends of the Sharia. Justified. So, إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ nida'an khafiyya. He's calling out on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but in soft tones, humbly. قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَزْمُ مِنِّي. And when he's petitioning Allah ta'ala, when you're asking Allah ta'ala, then how would you go about talking to Allah ta'ala? رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَزْمُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ الرَّأْسُ شَيْبًا. See how we coming across Mubarak moments, Mubarak days, right? And we all want our du'as to be answered. Allah Pak, make it that not a single person that's here is deprived. Allah Pak, answer everybody's du'as. Can't, is it impossible for Allah Ta'ala? Anything difficult for Allah Ta'ala? Nothing difficult for him. Can make it happen. But there's a protocol, there's a way to do it, go about doing it. One is what we hear about halal, haram. Be cautious about it. Don't play games with Allah Ta'ala. Like I said, this person made himself zakat, but he plays a game. Right? And he thought, you know, well, this is permissible. And I will not say it's haram. Because he was eligible for zakat. But the procedure was that, right? In the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will this hold? One person collecting money to build up a masjid. Now his friend sees, why he's using all the money for himself. How is he justifying it? How is he justifying? Got a million rand. So he's going to people and saying, no, main is paise ko masjid mein lagata hu. I put this into the masjid. But how is he justifying this? No, see how I do it. So he got the million rand and he goes to the masjid, he rubs it onto the floor. Rubs it nicely, the million rand. See, main masjid mein isko lagaya. I put this into the masjid. Now he's taking it for himself, he's pocketing the money. One person collected 2 million rand, 100,000 rand he used it for the masjid, and 1.9 he says, you know, handling charges, all my servers, all my efforts, all that. You aren't worried about this. The givers are giving. The givers are giving, but how, what an abuse. Is that not an abuse? Is it your work only to go and give, but to go and see also what's going on? It's your right to go and see, but I'm giving, I need to see how it's being used. See this, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي. You're afraid that you're going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it'll turn things around. But you don't have that consciousness, then what won't you do? Which system will be right? You're not afraid, you see. You ask an accountant, right? He's getting his stuff all right. With the SARS, with his balance sheet, and all, he's doing everything right. Because he knows that there is a thing like accountability. Someone is going to... He's accountable to someone. Otherwise, they may strip him off. Doesn't he have that concern? He has the concern of accountability. So he does it right. The doctor that is doing an operation, he also is doing it right. Why is doing it right? Because he has a fear of accountability. If other surgeons, etc., they get to know what I'm doing, then I'll be struck off. But just that, matters of deen, we feel that we aren't accountable. Because that man gave, he gave all his uplum money, so he can't do anything to me. How can he call me to account? So I'll go and report him. See, so that fear of accountability, standing before Allah Ta'ala, has been deleted from the mind. When it's deleted from the mind, then what is the barrier? What can stop you? Can there be anything that can stop you? So the whole core, the whole essence, to get everything right, put it in place, by that concern that I have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. Kulhum ati yawm al-qiyamati farda. I'll have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. I'll have to give an account personally. The small or the big. Wajadu ma amilu hadira. La yugadiru saghirata wala kabira. Quran Sharif is saying, this record is such that he doesn't leave a single thing, everything. What you have done, which time you have done it, how you have done it, with whom you have done it, which place, everything. وَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. It's coming before you like a videotape. Can you reject it? So until and unless we didn't learn that there is a thing like tribunal, you have to stand before Allah Ta'ala, by wasting time. And the moment you got this, by choti or bari baat, har baat khuda ke samne aakar ke rahe, everything is going to be standing before Allah Ta'ala. You're accountable. You'll be a different person. Accountant is a different person when he knows he's accountable. A doctor is a different person when he knows he's accountable. But that mu'min, he can't be a mu'min until he doesn't realize that thing doesn't get deep into his mind that I am accountable to Allah Ta'ala. So when you're petitioning Allah Ta'ala, you see, the type of what is required. And this is not, you will not say that this is extinct. You still get the Muslims. Sometimes you get ulama, sometimes you get people of the public. They'll tell you, Mona, tell us the Masla. We don't know about deen. You tell us. We'll do. We will not question you. But just tell us what is the right thing. We don't have the understanding to understand the higher levels. Tell us what to do and we'll take it from you. But what a good approach. Man says, no, I don't know about deen. He's not taking a chance. He's not meddling. He's not experimenting. I don't know about it. No, please help me. Tell me what to do. Is this right? Not right. I don't know the deeper levels of the discussion. I don't know about it. But you tell me, what must I do? So, that level of truth and honesty Allah Ta'ala appreciates, where you admitting I don't know it, show it to. But when you don't know it, and you do as though you know it, that's dangerous. That's being dishonest. That is what Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. I don't know that thing. But I don't want to show it. I don't want to pretend like I know it. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that. So the second aspect in dua, Rabbi inni wahan al-azmu, ushta'al al-ra'asu shayba. Allah Ta'ala, my bones have become infirm. My hair has become white, glistening white. Right. So I'm old. Inni wahan al-azmu minni washta'al al-ra'asu shayba. Walam akum bidu'aika rabbi shaqiyya. But Allah Ta'ala, whenever I petition you, I am never rejected. I am never rejected. Whenever I ask you. So that means, one is you petition Allah Ta'ala, show your inability, show your weakness. Allahumma inni faqeer farzuqni, inni dhaleel fa'izzani, ilayk ashku dha'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati. Whose dua are these? Inni zalamtu nafsi. You acknowledging, you showing your weakness, your inability, you're wrong, you're showing it, admitting it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're pleading for clemency. So you show your wrong, you show your disability, you show your limitations, and then you plead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't come into Allah ta'ala proudly. Proud South African, leave it one side. The proud South African, don't bring into your duas. Leave it there. Sorry, the airport, leave it there for proud South African. In your shirt and all, you are proud, just leave it there. But don't bring it, don't confuse your deen. Proud, I'm proud, so and so. What is there to be proud about? What is there to be proud about? وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّةً. The third point that you learn in this dua, that Zakariya al-Islam is showing us that the third requirement for the acceptance of dua is you need to be convinced that Allah Ta'ala will answer your duas. اُدْعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَنْتُمْ مُوقِنُونَ بِالْإِجَابَةِ. You ask Allah Ta'ala with yaqeen, Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. Allah Ta'ala will do it in His own time, in His own way, He'll do it. I can't push Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala must do it now. I can't say Allah Ta'ala. Do it now. Yes, I need to petition. My work is to cry, to beg, to follow the protocol, to follow the procedure, and beg Allah Ta'ala with that conviction that Allah Ta'ala will do it, make it happen. Not with that doubt, is my dua going to get accepted? By tum karo apna kaam. Do your work. And Allah Ta'ala's work, Allah Ta'ala's department, you don't interfere. Oh, why is Allah Ta'ala not accepting my dua? Everybody else is accepting. Why is not accepting my dua? Don't have that attitude. The attitude of a mu'min, I will do it. Allah Ta'ala in His time, in the place, in the way, He will answer. He knows why He'll do it in this way. So to become despondent, that is not the way of a mu'min. Anything that will encourage and enhance your yaqeen and your faith, your conviction, do it, employ it. وَلَمْ أَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيَّةً. Now the last point, I don't know, that was the main point, but now the time is gone. إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ. Now what dua is he asking for? The dua is not asking. His age now is already over 100. Wife is about 98, and he must be over 98, he must be over 100. So what is the dua? When you advance old age now, you're about touching the grave. What dua will be? See? Allah Pak, my children are small now. Allah Pak, some security, material. Khaane peene ki koi cheez, saman uske liye. Medical bills must be covered. He must have a nice house. Allah Pak, they don't have vehicles also. Allah Pak, give us some, make some plan for them. That's your concern. He is. Speak the truth. Sachivadi and Jutivadi. All, not a concern. But what Zakaria is saying? Inni khiftul mawaliya min warai. I'm afraid of my relatives after me. Because I can see they've gone off. They've gone off the cause. They will not be able to handle the dini administration. We're coming from an Anbiya background. And I can see the family's gone off. When they've gone off, they will not handle, they won't be able to manage the dini affairs. Can I see that they've gone off? Yes, if they were on cause, then you had a hope that they will continue. But they've gone off the cause then. So the only thing I can think of, what the Nabi is thinking of, إِنِّي خِفْتُ الْمَوَالِيَ مِنْ وَرَائِي. Together with that, my wife is barren. فَهَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّ. Allah Ta'ala, from your presence, grant me an heir, a successor, that will manage the dini work, that will take my family, my dependents, my people. He will give them a cue, will give them a leadership. He will take them on the right course, to your happiness, to your pleasure, to your muhabbat. He will lead them all to Jannah. Give me someone like that. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ. And then this child must represent me and represent all the family of Yaqub al-Islam, because all thousands of Anbiya came from that side, right? So he must represent me and all of them. But he closes up this dua. وَجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَّ. Allah, let this child of mine be well pleased. He is pleased in your sight. Otherwise, the child is doing very good, well, business, everything else, he got healthy, business, all that. But in your sight, he is rejected. Kya kam? Kya fayda? All the money, all the health and muscular child is doing, it's not very prosperous. But Allah, in your sight, he is very insignificant, he is not worth anything. What's the use? So in your sight, you must be well pleased. Waj'alhu Rabbi Radiya, well pleased is a general word. I suppose can also refer to let people be happy with him. Because if people are happy with him, they will refer to him. If they're not happy with him, will they refer to him? Will they accept him? No. But what a beautiful dua, what a beautiful dua procedure, and a reflection of a Nabi's insight, his mind, how his mind works, what is the frame of his mind.